Or if you're glad to be here this morning, shout amen.
Amen.
All right, you actually sound like you meant that. That's great. Well, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. If you remember last week, we started a series on Ephesians, and I told you I didn't know if we were going verse by verse or chapter by chapter or how we were going. And so far, we're not actually doing verse by verse, but we're not doing chapter by chapter either, just going down through here till God leads us. And there's a lot of preaching in Ephesians. I tell you, we could literally spend a year or 2 years just on the book of Ephesians and not cover everything. It is full of information for us from God. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 3 and read down through verse 5. And I want you to notice the things that are in here. I'm going to be preaching out of verse 5, but God's laid it on my heart to read 3 and 4 to you. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, folks, if you can read that and not get chill bumps up and down your spine, something's wrong. Because it says He's blessed us, hath blessed us. Present tense, has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Then in verse 4, he says, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." I only want to say one thing about that. God is coming back for a spotless bride. If you're not spotless, probably not going. Okay? Because it says He's coming back for a bride that's holy, without blame, and spotless. I really wanted to preach on those two verses and God wouldn't let me, but like I said, there's a lot in there, but I do want to preach on verse 5 this morning. In verse 5, Paul says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." That's kind of wordy. That's kind of King James-ish. Let me put it to you this way. God has adopted us to Him, into His family, through the death and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what that is saying, according to the good pleasure of God's will. Did you realize that? We are in God's family because it is His good pleasure. And not because He had to. Out of the good pleasure of His will have we been adopted. Now today we're going to look at our new ID in God. Our new identity in God. And we're also going to ask the question, how do you see yourself? Now, folks, this goes way beyond self-esteem. If you think I'm just preaching on self-esteem, you're missing the whole issue. We're talking about the brand new identity when we get saved. And we're talking about that God wants us to see ourselves in that new identity. And we're going to be showing you verses in the Bible that clearly point out that we definitely do have a brand new ID, a brand new identity in Christ Jesus. Let me show you one of the verses here. This is kind of a foundational verse for everything we're going to be talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 17. Paul says, "If any man..." Who's that pertain to? Any man. Anybody. This pertains to every one of us that has been born again. It says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Now, let me reread that with the concept of what we're looking at today. If any man be adopted by the Father, he has a brand new ID. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Who you are and how you see yourself is really important. For you to be who God wants you to be, and for you to do what God wants you to do, you have to see yourself the way God sees you. it's so important that if Jesus had not seen himself as the Son of God, he would have never done the things he did. If Jesus had gone through life and said, well, I was just a little boy that was born in a manger, would have never accomplished anything. He had to understand and had to see himself as the Son of God to do what he had to do and be who he had to be. And the same thing for us, folks. It is so important that we get this understanding, that we understand that we have a brand new ID. Now, in the natural realm, our ID is extremely important. If you've ever flown on an airplane, you had to have the proper ID to get on that plane. If you don't have the proper ID, you're not going to get on there. And if you're driving a car and you get pulled over by a policeman, almost the first thing they ask you for is what? Your ID. In fact, I heard about a guy a while back from Alabama that was driving through upper New York, got pulled over by a policeman, and the New York policeman came up to the Alabama guy's pickup, and the policeman asked him, said, you got any ID? The Alabama guy said, about what? Okay, that's bad. I understand. We kind of had to lighten things up. You guys were a little bit tense this morning. I promise you that should be the worst joke of the day, I hope. But if you write a check, they want your ID, don't they? Almost everything we do, folks, they want your ID. And as we're going to see today, our spiritual ID is very important. And I understand this may be a new concept to you, or that a new terminology at least. A lot of us have never thought about having a new spiritual ID. But we do have, and we need to understand how important it is. Now in Ephesians chapter 1 here, and in many other places in the Bible, it tells us that we have been adopted into the family of God. I get excited about that. I get really excited about that. I know some folks that have been adopted. One of my real good friends when I was in college was adopted. He was glad he had been adopted. And I shared with somebody today, when you have a baby, the husband and wife, that can happen accidentally, but no one has ever been adopted accidentally. So when somebody's adopted, they are an intentional choice to be loved. So I get excited about that. But the question is, we've been adopted into God's family, but how do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves as part of the family of God? Or do we just see ourselves as the guy from Bologna? Or the lady that was raised in rural Arkansas? And there's nothing wrong with that. I like the concept of being from the country and from Arkansas. But folks inside, we've got to see ourselves as more than just that. We have to see ourselves as part of the family of God. Jesus didn't just see himself as a little boy from Nazareth. He saw himself as somebody that was about the Father's business and as the Son of God, and he never denied that he was the Son of God. So we have to see ourselves that way. We have to have the proper ID and the proper image of ourselves, if you want to call it that, because it affects everything we do, especially in the spiritual realm. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration I think most of us can relate to, because most of us were here when this process happened. But I'm going to tell the story because I know there's some folks that may not know the whole story. But we have a young lady in our church by the name of Josie Gunter. Or for those of you that don't know, Josie came from Guatemala, a third world country. She was a poor girl from a third world country living in a horrible situation, had absolutely no hope of having any kind of future at all. It definitely had no hope of becoming a Christian. God could have definitely put somebody in there, but if God hadn't intervened, there would have been no hope for her. Well, God put it up on Micah Gunter's heart, and she drugged Carol along for a little while, about adopting Josie. That's all that you heard about from Micah for a while, wasn't it? Josie, 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 Josie. Well, guess what? All you hear about from God before somebody gets saved is my child, my child, my child, my child. He wants him. But God put it upon Carol and Micah's heart to adopt Josie. They went through the entire process, and what, about a year ago now, Carol? A little over a year. Josie came home to be with the Gunters. They went through the adoption process and brought her home. She now is part of the Gunter family. She now has all of the rights and all of the responsibilities that Christian and Corey were born with. She is a part of that family and has all of the rights of being in that family. She is now an American citizen, has all of the rights that any other American citizen has. It's just as if she was born here and born into the Gunter family. Now, folks, if you stop and think about it, in reality, she went from being a poor third world country girl to a very wealthy American girl. And Carol says she's not that wealthy. Compared to where she came from, she's very wealthy. But here's my question about Josie. We all know the circumstances she came from and the family and the circumstances she came to. But what if she still acted and thought like that little poor girl from Guatemala? Wouldn't that be sad? What if she clung to that and said, I'm nothing but a poor little girl from a third world country. I've got no hope. Would she ever reach her full potential? Wouldn't even come close, would she? Would she be able to do the things that she has the capability of doing? No. And all of us here, of course, Josie's not quite old enough to talk before we can carry on a real good conversation, but as she grows older, if she had that mindset, we would be doing everything that we could to be getting her straightened out. We would be telling her, Josie, you don't have to live that way anymore. You're now an American citizen. You have the right to an education. You have a good family. You have all of the rights that anybody else in that family has. You don't have to live like that poor little girl from Guatemala anymore. We would do everything we could to get her straight on that. But folks, it's a sad thing today that way too many of God's children don't act like God's children. We act more like a guest in the house than a member of the family. A lot of times when we go to God in prayer, He tells us to come boldly before His throne. A lot of times we go whimpering in, begging and pleading and whining. That's not what God tells us to do. That's not how a member of the family does. I remember when Amy was growing up, when it came time for lunch money, she'd come in and say, Dad, I need some lunch money. In fact, we had it in an envelope, and a lot of times she didn't even ask. She just knew where to go to get the money for lunch money. We need to start acting like we are part of the family of God. We have rights being in the family. The Bible tells us clearly, don't forget all of the benefits of God. If you've been born again, you are a bona fide child of God. If you study God's Word, it's amazing how many times He tells you that. It's amazing how many times He tells us that we are in Him, or we are in Christ, or that we are part of the family. He tells us that we are an heir of God. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. That we are an overcomer. That we are a person that lives in and under the blessing. That we are the redeemed. That we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. The same way that Josie was delivered from Guatemala and from the poverty in that country and from all the lack and all the bad situations that she was in and has been translated into an American citizen in the Gunter family, folks, is the same way that God delivers us and translates us. Amen. Only in a multiplied sense, really. Right. We have been adopted by God. Basically, what I'm saying is if you are a member of family of God, then embrace your new identity. Start acting like a member of the family. Change your mindset. I get so aggravated when I hear people say, well, I'm just a poor sinner saved by grace. God never said that. He said that we were a sinner, that we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's a completely different mindset. We've got to stop thinking of ourselves as that poor third world country person spiritually and seeing ourselves as a part of the family of God. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul said, if you then be risen with Christ, and I'm going to change that to go along with what we're talking about today. It doesn't change the meaning at all. I think it multiplies it and magnifies it for us. If you then be adopted by God the Father, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. As God's children, we need to start seeking those things which are above. We need to start spending time in the Word of God and in prayer and making our spiritual life the top priority in our life. We need to shut off the TV or the radio or put down the newspaper or whatever we need to do until we've got our time with God invested. Seeking those things which are above. Seeking to live godly. Acting like we are a part of the family of God and setting our mind on things above and not on things of this earth. Let me give you an example of that. I know that the majority of us still work. We need to work. But folks, when you go to that job, we ought to work in such a way that the people around us can see that we have a greater purpose in life than just showing up for work. They ought to be able to see by the way that we act and by the way that we work and the things that we think about and the things that we talk about that we have a greater purpose in life. The job is there to help take care of our family. But our true purpose in life is to serve our Father, to be about the Father's business everywhere that we go. As we go to work or wherever we go, we need to remember that the old, unsaved you is dead. And that the new you, the new man or the new woman with the new identity in Christ is the one that's now showing up for work or going to school or whatever we're doing. We have to have a greater purpose than just showing up for work. And I understand it's a challenge for some of us, in fact, for probably most of us, to see ourselves that way. Because we look at ourselves and we see our limitations. We see our weaknesses. And we see our faults. But that's why the Bible tells us that we have to keep renewing our minds until we know what the perfect will of God is. We have to keep renewing our mind by putting the Word of God in on a daily, consistent basis until we change our thinking. Until our mind is renewed. That's exactly what that means. Until we change our thinking and no longer see ourselves as a poor third world country person spiritually, and we start seeing ourselves as somebody that is part of the family of God, has the rights of being in the family of God, and also the responsibilities of being a part of the family of God. We have to renew our mind on a constant, consistent basis. Let me give you an example I think you can follow. God's Word plainly tells us, and of course, anytime God's Word tells us, that's God speaking, right? So God says, you can do all things through Christ Jesus. But I say, I can't quit that bad habit. Or I can't teach that class. Or I can't learn the Scriptures. Or I can't be a witness. Or I can't, whatever it is. Well, folks, when we do that, our thinking negates everything that God has said about us. In fact, our thinking at that point becomes more powerful than what God has said, because we are looking to what we think instead of what God has said. God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we say, I can't. And we deal with that same thing with our kids. They say, I can't do math. And we sit them down and say, you know, you're right. You're the stupidest, dumbest kid I've ever met. There's no way you could ever do math if you tried. You don't even try to do it. You're so stupid and so dumb, don't even try. That's not what we do at all, is it? We sit them down and say, yes, you can. You're smart. You're my child. And if you will apply yourself and work and study hard, you can do this. Let me back up just a little. One reason that we keep telling God we can't is we don't want to have to put out the work and the effort to do what we need to do. Good word for that is lazy. But with our kids, we keep telling them, you're smarter than you think you are. You're better than you think you are. And not only are we trying to teach them math, but folks, we're trying to teach them to see themselves the way that we see them. We're trying to help them to see themselves as smart and as capable and as able to do the math or whatever it is that we're talking to them about. So we really have two objectives there: teaching them, helping them to learn math, and helping them to see themselves the way we see them. Well, God is striving to do the same thing with you. He's trying to get us to see ourselves the way that He sees us. He tells us, you are my child. You can do this. You can live godly. You can resist temptation. You can overcome that bad habit. You can work in the church. You can learn what my word says if you just change the way you think about yourself and realize that you're my child and that I said you can do all things, and if you'll work hard and do it. But we cannot be spiritually lazy and do that. Changing our thinking from the way that we used to think to the way that we need to think is one of the hardest things in this world. In fact, we can't do it on our own. That's why we have to renew our minds with the Word of God. We have to get so much of the Word of God in us that the Holy Spirit is able to start transforming us and renewing our minds and helping us to see ourselves the way that God sees us. I'm going to finish this tonight, but I want to make one statement, and I'm going to expound upon this tonight. But folks, we have something going on in our society today that we think is horrible, and it is horrible. It's called identity theft. When somebody steals your identity, it is horrible. It's hard. You have to go through all sorts of things to try to get it back, and sometimes you can never resolve it. And yet Satan is roaming the earth today, seeking whom he may devour, seeking whose identity he can steal. And a lot of times he steals ours as Christians, and we don't even realize it. That happens way too much. We need to realize and remember that we are a member of the family of God and act like members of the family of God. I'm going to ask Marlene and Bill if they would to come forward. And folks, the invitation this morning is, how do you see yourself? If you don't have a vivid, clear picture of yourself as being adopted into the family of God, and that He loves you, and that He empowers you, and that He strengthens you, then you've got some changes you need to make. Because you'll never be able to do the things that God wants you to do if you don't see yourself in a proper way. And it's not an arrogant way. It's a very humbling way. When you stop and think about where God brought you from and where you are today, yes, you ought to be very glad to be a child of God. You ought to be proud of that in the sense that you're willing to tell anybody about it. But it ought to humble you to know that God the Father loved you enough to adopt you into His family when you did not deserve it. Josie didn't deserve to be adopted by the Gunners. She didn't do anything to deserve that. But out of the goodness of their heart, they did it. And folks, out of the goodness of God's heart, according to His good pleasure, He's adopted us into His family. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before You. Thank You so much for Your word that tells us that we have been adopted into Your family, that we currently are Your children. And God, I pray that You'd help us to see ourselves in that light. Help us to see ourselves in the light according to what the Scripture tells us. Again, Father, not in an arrogant way, but in a way that we will see the rights and the responsibilities that we have, and that it will motivate us to do more to serve You and to become more, and realize that, Father, that You are expecting more out of us because of that. And I just pray that this morning, as You've spoken to hearts, if there's a need, that You would help them to bring that need before You this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.